Got to get all turned on and figured out up here. Well, good morning. It's a beautiful day outside. You would have thought it was Christmas morning because it's snowing. We were told that earlier this morning, and from the reaction, I would have thought we had 2 feet of snow outside. And we're just going to be sledding on to church, but it's snowing in Tennessee, and that's all right. One thing I do want to draw your attention to, which I think is awesome, is that if you got the handout for tonight for the ladies' gift exchange, okay, it's still priceless. Remember when those of us who are, you know, I guess I'm 39, I'll be 40 in April of 11. But when I was a kid, you know, we had McDonald's, you know, like we have now. But for all of us who are my age or older, when you had McDonald's, was there a playground at every McDonald's? Well, no, there's just hamburgers, and, you know, we were happy to go. Now, every McDonald's you go to, it's got indoor playland, right? You know, when we were kids, we still liked Christmas and all, but we, you know, it wasn't as, you know, man, there's just all these catalogs and this and that. I mean, we had to find the section of toys in the Sears catalog, you know, and that. Now, you know, Toys R Us has its own. I mean, when we were kids, we watched cartoons. When did you watch cartoons? Saturday mornings. If you didn't get up to watch them, man, now kids can watch cartoons 24/7. There's a cartoon network. There's Nickelodeon. It's all about kids. And that's good but you know, we adults, back me, we need our time, right? I love this. Ladies' gift exchange, down at the bottom. Remember, there will be lots of pretties and fragile items, so please find a sitter for your precious children. You know what that means? That's a nice way of saying, this ain't about the kids that one day. This is about us. I love that. Guys, let's follow this. Let's get our something. Men, leave the kids at home. Get a sitter. I love that. This, and I'm sure somebody figured out, how can we say this nicely? Oh, we don't want the kids. And I have a bunch of kids that live at my house. And, you know, sometimes I want them to be somewhere else too. That's awesome. I'm sure the ladies will have a great time. And y'all enjoy that and go and don't feel guilty that there is not one thing there for kids. Not one present for them. Not any food they'd like to eat. There's not going to be no corn dogs there. No chicken nuggets. It's going to be big people food. It's going to taste good. It's going to be exquisite. It's nice. They're not going to break anything. This morning, don't Christmas the point. You know, if you ever, you know, look in Luke chapter 1, Luke 1, 26 through 56. That's going to be the text for our sermon this morning. We're going to hang out there, and we're just going to go through it and look at some points about it. And this morning, do you ever at Christmas time, this time of year? And I tell you what, this I absolutely love. I have a feeling that Vicky Fuel is responsible for this, and this is awesome. I absolutely. And kids, y'all will appreciate this, but be glad that you grew up in a church where we have this, because I did not. But this is great. It's beautiful. But Christmas is a special time of year. It's a time of year when we think about things that we don't necessarily always think about that we could and we should think about. We should think about, you know, being, you know, the joy of God and the relationship that we have. We should think about, you know, the love that we have and the generosity that we should have for each other. So, but at this time of year, more so than any other time, we think about those things. We think about decorations more at Christmas than we do any other time. I've never understood why is it inappropriate to have lights on my gutters in July? You know, why can't we decorate the outside of our houses all the time like we do now? Because you know what? When I come home in the dark and the Christmas lights are on, I'm just like, hey, it's good. You know, it's just something about it. I don't know. But why can't, you know, but there's things we do this time of year that we don't always do that we could or we should maybe. But you ever feel like sometimes we miss the whole point? You know, when it's, the day after Halloween and the mall's already adorned with Christmas stuff, and it's all about the, and we kind of just sort of gloss over Thanksgiving, and really Christmas becomes more and more about what Howard was saying, the list of things, you know, what do you want, the commercialization of it all. And that's one of the biggest complaints that I hear as I talk to people about this time of year is, you know, it's so commercialized, it's so this, it's so, and people get so wrapped up in all of the plans and all of the presents and all of the budgets and all of the money and the spending, and will the economy turn around because of this? And it feels like we're missing something. That in all of Christmas, we Christmas it. We miss the point of why it is that we celebrate this. You know, and I don't want to get into all of the where did it come from and why on the 25th, and it's really not as this birthday or that, you know, because whatever, you know, we could be taking a holiday that's otherwise pagan or materialistic, and guys, we have an opportunity to sanctify it. We have an opportunity to hijack something that had nothing to do with Jesus and make it all about Jesus. That's the kind of opportunity that we have if we don't miss the point. So the question is, what is Christmas all about? What is the concept, you know, what are we celebrating when we celebrate Christmas this time of year? Well, as Christians, we recognize the birth of Christ. Whether or not it's the actual day that the baby Jesus was born in the manger, whether or not it's historically accurate to say happy birthday Jesus on the 25th of December is really irrelevant to me, but it's an opportunity to recognize the fact that God, from up on high, thousands and thousands of years ago, recognized the need for us to be saved from our sin, and that He could not do it from heaven. He had to come here in the flesh, be one of us, conquer what has conquered us so that we could be with Him forever. And I'm going to say thank you for that. And I'm going to say on the day, I'm going to pick a day and say that it's important to recognize and celebrate the day that the plan started to come to fruition. And that's what we celebrate in the birth of Christ. But what does that mean for us? Remember last week we talked about the big picture of Christmas. And has Christmas ever changed your life? Do we look forward to it? Has Christmas ever had the impact on you personally that it has had on the world in total? Has Christmas ever taken your life and turned it upside down? And I don't mean because you got the gift. You know, the one year you got the one thing you were asking for that you really thought you weren't going to, you know, man, I remember when I got whatever it was. That was a great, no. That's not what I'm talking. I mean, has the event of the birth of Christ ever taken your life and just wrung it out and changed it completely? Because that's what I want to celebrate. I'll be honest with you, as a 39-year-old gospel preacher, I still want the birth of Jesus, the life of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. I want that to change me more than it has so far. I really do. But if we Chris miss the point, it can't. You ever been watching a movie or talking to somebody and you wonder, why didn't they do what they had an opportunity to do? You know, in the movie where the guy and the girl, they've been, you know, back and forth, and he loves her, but she doesn't know he exists, and da da da. And then finally, you know, through the movie, you know, she kind of comes around, and at the end, you think they're going to get together, and oh, it's going to be great. And then he's right at the door, and she's wanting him to come in, and she wants him to be there, and she's just, oh, I'm just pining for him because I realize he's there, he loves me, and all these times I should have loved him back, and he's a wonderful guy. And he walks up to the apartment, and and you're like, what? Why? Why don't you go in the, why don't you do that? But he doesn't for whatever reason. Or maybe it's a situation in life where somebody had an opportunity to do something that you thought, man, you really ought to do it, but they just didn't. And then you find out that they knew more about something. They knew what it was going to do. They knew what it would have led to. Maybe he knew that it just wouldn't work out. It would just cause more pain than anything else, and I would really lose her. So I don't even want to begin because of what I know, because of what it all would entail. And so they make a decision that, or they say something, or they do something that you would not have done because of what they knew. Look in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. We're going to read this, and we're going to look at 3 points about God's intention, God's purpose, about God's point for Christmas. And I hope you ask yourself some questions as we go through this reading. Why would Mary, this is the birth of Jesus being foretold. This is when the angel appears to Mary and tells her about what's about to happen and gives her the opportunity to do and to be what she was going to do and be, and to be the mother of the Savior of all of humanity. And some of her reactions to that, to me, are peculiar. A little bit odd? What? Maybe as you read through this, as we listen to this, think about why would you say that, Mary? In the 6th month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, just wouldn't you love to hear those words? You who are highly favored by God. God is with you. Well, Mary was greatly troubled. Greatly troubled at his words and wondered, what kind of greeting might this be? You ever get the idea that Mary might have known something that we don't know? Mary might have had an inkling of what was to come that we would not have had at that point. Mary was greatly troubled by the words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God." Second time that idea of favor with God has come up, might be important. "You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you're to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Wow. Let me just tell you something. If the Lord appeared to me, If the herald of the Lord, Gabriel, appears to me, an angel, and says, "Shane, your wife is going to have a baby, and his baby is going to be the Savior. He's going to be the Son of God, the Savior of the world. He is going to sit on the throne of David. He will reign over this nation, and his kingdom will never end." I don't think my first response would be, "How are you going to make that happen? My circumstances don't match up with that happening." I mean, what kind of reaction is it when you hear these things being described of your offspring, your child? This is the future. This is the accomplishment. This is the standing that they will have. "How will this be?" Mary asked. "I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age." Skip to verse 38. Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be done to me as you have said." The angel left her. You see, in not missing the point, Christmas isn't necessarily about what I want. Christmas isn't necessarily about my reaction to God and His plan. It isn't about, but see, Christmas is about what God wants to do for us. See, God wants to single you out. You see, why would Mary not be so happy? Why would Mary not be so enthralled? Why would Mary not be, you know, we listen and we think, man, I would react completely different. Mary knew that she was about to be singled out among everyone that she knows. She was about to be the only person in the world with these credentials. Just think about that for a second. Just think about it. If you are the only person in the history of the world, not just in your generation, not just at that time, but there was no one before her in all people. No one before her in all of humanity that could say they gave birth to the offspring of God. There would be no one ever to come. There would be nobody that could say, you know, just like Mary, I was the mother of Jesus. God was singling her out. Now, as Jesus comes into our life, as we celebrate the birth, and we've heard sermon after sermon about, you know, God wants to birth something special within us. I mean, I think I've probably preached a sermon like that at Christmas time. You know, God wants to bring into the mess of our life, the manger, the barn of my life, and He wants to have His Son born within me. Do we recognize that just like Mary, He is wanting to single us out? We will experience Him completely and totally unique from everyone else in the history of the world. God wants to have a personal effect, a personal experience in our life unlike anyone else's. Does that make us stop and pause and think, man, there might be something more to this than I've ever thought? There might be something more to celebrating the birth of Christ than I ever thought. It's more than just the birth of a Savior. It's more than just, thank you, God, you've given me an avenue to heaven. But it's the opportunity that we have to be singled out from the world. And no one can boast what you can boast. No one will experience God the way you have experienced God. No one will minister to the world the way He wants you to minister to the world. No one. He wants to single you out. There are opportunities that only you have throughout your day that no one else has. Regardless if you are just one teacher among 50 in a building of teachers, you alone have a unique day that the life of Christ in you and because of you and through you will affect the world differently than anyone else who's ever lived. God wants to single you out. Mary knew that. That was heavy. That was weighty. Don't miss the point. God wants to single you out. This Christmas, He wants you to be different. What else is Christmas about? It's not only what God wants to do for us, but it's what God wants to do to us. See, God wants to change your life, your direction, your plans, your standing in the community, your purpose. See, you know what Mary knew? Mary knew that her circumstances that she had established in her life, she had lived the life that she wanted to live. She was a good person. She was a virgin like she was supposed to be. She hadn't been promiscuous. She saved herself so that a man like Joseph, a descendant, just think her mom might have been so proud. You see who Mary's betrothed to? Oh, he's Joseph. He's a carpenter, you know. They have a great retirement plan. I mean, carpenters, you know, there's a big demand. The shortage of carpenters. I mean, what? We live in huts. You know, furniture hadn't really been invented yet, so it's going to be big. You know, Mary, she had done everything right. She had been, you know, and then God's going to come along, and you know what God's going to do? He's going to mess it all up. He's going to mess up all our plans because she now is going to be part of a scandal. What? Hello, Joseph. What's Joseph going to think? What's my mom going to think? What are these people going to think? I'm not really sure, God, if this is, you know, I'm a virgin and then this is going to really mess up my plans and we really aren't ready to have kids right now, you know, because we wanted to travel. We wanted to travel first. You know, we really wanted to go to, Egypt and see some things there. And God's like, well, you know, I think I can arrange that. I can get you there. Oh God, this isn't part of my plans. This isn't what I, what is this going to do to my standing in the community? So you know why she wasn't real, you know, fist pumping and jumping up and down? And because she knew this is going to change everything. This is going to change it all. I'm not ready for kids right now. Think about that. How did having kids change your life? Less sleep. Not so much me time. Now we get to plan one day a year where it's okay to leave them at home. So the lady, you know, how did it change? You know, a baby. We're not talking about getting a puppy. It's a baby. It's a child. That's the thing about babies. They grow up to be kids and then teenagers. You know, I mean, your kids always want puppies. You know, I tell them they grow up to be dogs. This is a cute puppy. We've had puppies that were great ideas at the time. And we're like, this is bad. This is going to change everything. It's going to change the way that Mary and Joseph spend their money. It's going to change the plans that they make. It's going to change the places that they go and the places that they don't go. It's going to change the state. Now there's going to be some kind of something said about them. It's never going to be quite the same. Mary and Joseph, they were this perfect couple. I mean, the all Galilean couple. I mean, they were great. It was wonderful. She was pure. He was a hard worker. And now there's always going to be this scandal about them. Did you hear about their first child, Jesus? I mean, nobody really was clear. Yeah, the Holy Spirit. You believe that? I mean, there's always... You let Jesus be born into your life. You let Jesus be born into your plans. People are going to talk about you. People are going to talk about it. It's going to be, your standing in the community will be different. There will be parties that you're not invited to attend. There will be friendships that will be a little bit different once Jesus is really birthed. Not the Jesus that we think sometimes, not that, you know, playtime, he really doesn't exist. You know, Santa Claus kind of Jesus that we have kind of concocted in religion, but the real Jesus, the Jesus that is born and doesn't go back to the nursery. The Jesus that you don't call a sitter for and leave for months at a time. The Jesus that is there 24/7. The Jesus that wakes you up at night. The Jesus that grows and matures, never goes away, is always part of your family. He's there at Thanksgiving. He's sitting at the table. Oh, he's there at Christmas. But you know, by New Year's, he's still there. Jesus that is now changing everything. How will this be? How will Jesus be birthed into my life? Don't worry, the angel says. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. God will take care of that. I'm the Lord's servant, she said. May it be done to me as you have said. And the last point, don't Christmas the point. It's all about what God wants to do through you. Skip down. We haven't read this part yet, and I'll hurry because I'm out of time. But verse 46, she goes through 39 through 45. Mary is talking about, he's talking to Elizabeth. You know, John the Baptist leaps in her womb, you know, because when holiness meets that which all its life desires, holiness, you can't help but have a reaction. Mary said, my soul. Now watch the transformation that Mary has in this song, in this poem, or this just spontaneous exalting, glorifying of God. Now, don't, you know, this is Mary's song, but don't ever mistake. She's not sitting in a studio with a guitar and a, you know, in the kind of a podium with a, you know, and she's like, yeah, my soul. Okay, yeah, I'm gonna do that. No, no, no. This is just a spontaneous eruption of glory to God. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Watch the transformation about who it's about. It's about her. It's about her. It's about something else. And then it just kind of grows. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him. From generation to generation, He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He scattered those who are proud in the inmost thoughts. He has broken down rulers from their thrones, but He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but He has sent the rich away empty. He's helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as He has said to our fathers. Mary understood, this is big. This is big. And this is going to change the world. This is going to change everything. From generation to generation. She talks about individuals. She talks about nations. She says the birth of Jesus, God among us, coming into my little life. And because she made a statement right in the middle of this, verse 38, I am the Lord's servant. May it be done to me as you have said. At that moment, she agreed to be part of something that she knew herself is going to change the world. What are you celebrating this Christmas? The opportunity to change the world? Now, She in her lifetime did not see much of the world change. She saw her world change. She saw her world blown up. But how has the birth of Jesus changed the world? We could sit here all day and talk about it. How is the birth of Jesus in your life? The change that God wants to make for you and in you, how is that going to change the world? Well, that depends. Will you have a verse 38 moment? This Christmas, will you write down what I want for Christmas? To be the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Will you have a Luke chapter 1 and verse 38 moment where you say the world's going to change because of me, because of what God's going to do with His Son through my life? And I promise you, we will not miss it. There's no possible way to miss that. While the world tries to commercialize, while the community that we live in tries to hijack this day, let's hijack it right back. Let's take it right back from them. And the way that we do that is not by only talking about the birth of Jesus, the 25th of December and the holiday season leading up to it, but allowing the birth of Christ to be a constant in our life. Allowing Jesus, the real Jesus, to be born and to live within us. It will change everything, starting with us, starting with each person in this room, and it will ultimately change the world. This morning, do you want to initiate the change? You want to initiate the relationship with God that happens when Jesus is born into your life. Confess Him as your Lord and Savior. Be baptized into His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Have all of the barriers torn down between you and God, and then be free to live the world-changing life that God has called you to live. Whatever your need is, this Christmas, would you let us know as together we stand and as we sing.